Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm Patty Zunica, sitting in for Jim Ganley.
And I'm MJ Crowder. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's here.
Wonderful time of year.
It's here.
And now it's really here. All that we've been waiting for, all that we've been praying for, it's here.
Amen. Just a little note to our listeners. Remember, Christmas starts for us as Catholics, as Christians, December 25th. So do something special with your family and your children to remember that 12 days starts today and ends with the Epiphany on January 6th. So think about that. Think of some way. Be creative that you can make Christmas come alive for your family for the next 12 days. Don't take your Christmas tree down. Leave it up. Leave the decorations up. It's one reason why we switched over to an artificial tree, because I love it so much. I like it up a long time, and we keep it up till at least January 6th. What about you, Patty?
We have an artificial tree just for that reason and allergies, but I love it. I love it. It makes my evenings reflective. I love going through all the ornaments that are the history of our family.
Yeah.
And maybe after Christmas is, I think, when I love it the most, because I can sit and breathe and enjoy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. The pressure's off.
Absolutely.
The pressure off. So enjoy this. Enjoy this wonderful time from us here at Catholic Radio to you. Enjoy it. And I hope you get a few days this week to just reflect, as Patty said, enjoy the twinkling of lights and think about Christmas, because it's still with us for another couple of weeks. So God bless each and every one of you. And our guest today on Faith in Action, Scott Seibert. He's the Director of Office and Marriage Family Life of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome. Don't you love it?
Man,
don't you love
so
it?
Cool. Yeah.
And you've got lots of little angel muffins, so.
Oh, it's so fun. Christmas time is so much fun in our house.
So what are the ages?
So we've got a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and an 8-month-old.
Oh, God bless you. So as they used to say back in the day, you are in the weeds.
We're in the weeds.
You're in the weeds.
Yeah, we
are. You sleeping through the night?
No. What
Haven't
sleep?
Been for years? No.
Yeah, it's been like 6 years since I've got full night sleep.
So. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, someone used to say, and this is true, that you won't sleep for probably another 20 years, because when they're 16, when they start driving, 16, 17, 18, oh my
God. That's what I hear.
It's true.
But I'm used to it now. Like I'm a functioning zombie at work, so it's good.
Oh, I love it. A 5-year-old. Oh, the best. My oldest grandson is 5 years old.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to see everything through their eyes.
Oh, the joy. There's a Christmas song for King and Country, Baby Boy.
Yes.
And there's a line in there that, you know, endless hope and relentless joy. And it's like you see that relentless joy in the kids. You know, they're just so excited, and all the anticipation in the day and the season. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful time.
I'm glad that you're able to see that, because as a grandparent, I certainly can. I don't know if as a parent I was as open to that, because there was so much going on. But
depends on the day. But yeah,
it depends on the day. So we have a lot to talk about, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Big. First of all, I didn't ask you what parish you belong to.
Saint Simon.
That's right. Now you're at Saint Simon.
Yeah, we've been there about a year now. Yeah.
I remember my first awareness that you were at Saint Simon because you did a live remote with what's his face, with Scott, at the Fish Fry.
Yeah.
And I saw you, and I was like, wait a second, what are you doing? Did Scott invite? So is it the whole pew? You know, but you were there because you were a parishioner.
You're a parishioner.
Yeah. So what mass do you go to?
We're 9:15ers.
My husband does the 5:30. evening mass with my daughter. So
yeah.
But don't you love our new pastor?
Oh man, Father John's awesome.
Father John McCaslin, he's the best, man. He's the best.
Yeah, he is.
He's kind of like breathing this sense of love and community. And that community, I say that in the most wonderful way.
Yeah.
You know, slow motion. He is slowly getting us used to the idea that mass doesn't have to be 45 to 50 minutes long. I mean, it's longer now. And it's okay. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
You noticed that?
Yeah. I mean, people aren't checking their watches anymore.
And they're not checking their watches. Yeah. Usually before the song, you know, before the second verse of the song, the ending song, yep. You know, you look around and people are starting to scatter.
They're not getting their coats on?
No. Good. Because Father says, I want to sing all the verses. Just sing. Yeah, yeah, he's great.
And during his homilies, he's having us turn and introduce ourselves to the people next to us.
Our comfort community. Level, he is really challenging our comfort level, but he's building it, man. He is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about families, Scott.
Families. My favorite topic.
And what a better way than during Christmas week to talk about families.
Yeah.
Okay, so it kind of, some people said to me a couple years ago when we had the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia, it was like, I've never heard of this before. What's the deal?
Yeah.
And so now it's coming up again. What is this, Scott?
It's, you know, it's one of the church's best kept secrets. Unfortunately, we're going to try and break that. But in 1994, now St. John Paul II, then Pope St. Paul, Pope John Paul II, instituted the World Meeting of Families about the same time he did the World Youth Day. And they're really kind of, they mirror each other. They're both large events, Congress, papal events, all kinds of things. And it's really an opportunity for the world, for the church, to spend focused attention on the beauty of families. And so you get to encounter people from all over the world, different cultures, all celebrating the gospel of the family, the good news that God came into the world through a family, instituted his image for humanity among families.
I love that.
That's cool.
And I love the theme. Actually this year, and you kind of said it right there, the gospel of the family, joy for the world. The gospel of the family. How wonderful to put it like that.
Yes. Well, and I think as families, or as a young dad, I need that reminder that it's good news. Like, this is the tantrums and the lack of sleep and all that stuff. It's still good news.
Yeah.
And all of it. And so we get to go to Dublin in 2018 for this year's event and get to celebrate it.
You know, I wonder who decides where they go, but that was a pretty good one. I like Ireland. I mean, the United States, I don't know how exciting that was, maybe for the rest of the world, but Dublin.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the 2015 one was exciting because it was the first time Pope Francis stepped foot on our soil. But so for us in the United States, it was really our first opportunity to encounter the World Meeting of Families.
Right.
And so we're a little late in the game. But now the energy's here.
Yes, like,
well,
now
we want
know
to do it.
It
again. And when right. they announced it at the Papal Mass in 2015, there was a lot of excitement. And so we're going to go to where the church probably needs the most help right now in many ways. In Ireland, they're building up the church through the family. Let's do it.
Okay, I have so many questions. You know, we're just rebooting, as a matter of fact, the St. Vincent de Paul chapter or conference, they call it, at St. Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an organizational meeting a couple weeks ago. And this gentleman came through the door. He's from Ireland. I mean, his accent is so thick. I absolutely love it. And
oh,
I was thinking
so
about
great.
This. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, but yeah. It's okay. So not very often in the heart of the country, in Indianapolis, Indiana, do you run into someone who has an Irish accent,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
you know, Australian, English, maybe, definitely deep south. But Irish, okay, so tell us, first of all, I want to know what it's going to look like. I know there are women and men that are listening and saying, okay, what are you going to tell me that I can take to my husband or wife and say, we got to go? Okay.
Yeah.
So I know there's a deadline coming up as far as funds. So
Yeah, so let's talk about two different things. Well, I'll spend some time talking about our pilgrimage from Indianapolis for those who want to join
us. Yeah, what's it going to look like? How long is it going to be? How do we get there? Tell us everything.
Yeah, so it's a 9-day pilgrimage, August 18th through the 27th. And so that includes about 3 days of pilgrimage, shrine visiting, daily mass, experiencing the culture, and then the 3-day congress, which is a conference style thing. And then the 2-day papal events, the Festival of Families and the papal mass. And then we fly back home. So we're going to go on a charter bus from Indy to Chicago. We're going to do a direct flight into Ireland. I forget the town we're flying into there. We're going to start right off with Our Lady of Knock Shrine and mass there.
Oh, yeah.
And then we hit the ground running. So it's going to be beautiful.
Okay, so you spoke of this as a pilgrimage.
Yes.
You didn't say, so this is not a vacation, it's a pilgrimage. Is that what you would say people should consider this? I mean, in talking about it, in planning this, this is a pilgrimage.
It's a pilgrimage.
And how would you compare and contrast that to a vacation? So if you're, tell us.
Yeah, so the great, great question, and something that I think we as Catholics need to reflect on a lot. So pilgrimage is a spiritual journey. It's supposed to be an opportunity for reflection and prayer and journeying to religious sites as a way of encountering God in new and beautiful ways. Whereas a vacation, you're probably going to do some sightseeing and some, you know, different things, and you'll do that too, but there's, in a pilgrimage, there's a level of prayer that's always a part of the process. So we're going to see the beauty of the countryside in Ireland. We're going to visit shrines like Our Lady of Knock and St. Patrick's burial site and those kinds of things. And so there, it has that touristy feel. But there's something much
deeper. Simply because we're going to be in Ireland,
right? Because you're going to be in Ireland.
Right, right.
But there's something deeper going on. And we have the pleasure of traveling with Father Eric Augenstein over there.
Yes.
He's going to lead the pilgrimage. So you know he's going to set the tone for a spiritual encounter.
Oh, yeah. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, Scott Seibert, he is the Director of Office and Marriage, Family Life. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Three things keep Catholic Radio Indy on the air. One is our fervent desire to spread the gospel message. Two is your donations to the station. We couldn't survive without them. And three is underwriting from area businesses. Every month, these businesses make donations to the station. Please support them. Visit their stores, send them an email, or call them. Let them know that you appreciate their support of Catholic Radio. It's a great way to thank our underwriters for their very important support.
This is MJ Crowder. Happy and blessed Christmas greetings from all of us at the Crowder House to all of our wonderful listenership. This has been a year of abundant blessings and changes at Catholic Radio, and for this I am thankful. I wish for each one of you moments of peace and quiet amidst all of the hustle and bustle, moments to think of a small child who will become our Savior, moments to savor the greatest gift of all. God's blessings to each of you.
Keep the focus on Jesus this Christmas season.
To remember what Jesus did for me.
To keep my mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Scott Seibert. He is the Director of Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And we are talking about the World Meeting of Families 2018.
Yeah.
Dublin, Ireland. I can't imagine. I mean,
it's got you all choked up.
It does. It's got me all choked up. I'm thinking Cliffs of Moher. I'm thinking, but we have two of my five children went to Ireland. One on an overseas, exchange type deal. And one just on a spring break, college spring break, said, I'm going to go. And he got a Celtic cross tattoo while he was over there.
Whoa.
I was so upset with him. And he said, Mom, it's a cross. How can you be upset? I was like, oh. Anyway. Okay. So I know I want to talk a little bit more about what to expect, But I love that you kind of differentiated between a pilgrimage and a vacation. Okay.
Yes.
So this is an intentional. It's an intentional gift that you give yourself to set aside and kind of go deeper into the the beautiful mystery of our faith and celebrate families together.
Exactly.
Is there a possibility? Because I know this is the first time maybe many of these people have been out of the country, and definitely maybe a first time they have been to Ireland. Is there an opportunity to stay a few more days either before or after if they were to qualify for this trip, make this trip happen? Is there a way that they could do that, do you think?
Yeah, so the pilgrimage itself is an event that we want the pilgrims doing together. Part of pilgrimage is journeying together.
Sure.
But before you want to fly out and then meet up with the group,
right?
Sure, do okay, it. You want right. to, you while you're over in Europe, and you're already on the other side of the pond, as they say, and you want to visit more
right.
after, sure, go right ahead.
I like it. Visit yeah. more after.
yeah, more after. Yeah.
yeah.
Do it.
Okay, do it. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, good. All right, so we're talking, we're looking at the 1st of January right now. I mean, this is the last week of December. This is in August. I know that reservations have to be made. This fills up quickly. Is there an application process to qualify for the trip? Are you taking just a limited amount? Will you extend it if you have a whole bunch of people? Or is this just a few people and then the spots are gone?
Yeah, there's 45 seats.
Oh, dear.
That's
okay.
it.
Oh dear.
So it's a first come, first served kind of situation.
Kind of deal. Okay.
Now, just because you can't make it on our pilgrimage doesn't mean you can't go out to the world meeting of families on your own
sure.
if you desired. But sure. if you want to take this journey with us, then come now. The first deadline is due in February.
Okay.
So you got about a month.
Okay, about a month. So tell me off the top of your head, do you have like round figures? I mean, what are we talking about financially?
So for a double occupancy, we're looking at about $3,500.
Well, that's not too bad.
Everything.
That's about right. I mean, it seems like every tour in my life has been about that, right?
Yeah. yeah, month. I know.
It doesn't matter where you're going or what you're doing. It's always about $3,500, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly
all right,
it.
For double occupancy.
For double occupancy.
So if you've got an anniversary coming up this year, wouldn't this be a great gift to give your...
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, gosh, that'd be incredible.
Well, and my wife and I have never been away for more than one
night. Are you going?
Night. We're going together.
You... What? You're yeah. going?
Oh, yeah.
Is grandma watching the little angel muffins?
So there's three sets of grandparents that are tag teaming
for us. And it'll take all three of them.
Yeah, well.
Trust me, it will. my oldest... As there's three sets of grandparents, me and then two on the other side. And let me tell you, there are times when for a weekend, just a weekend, it takes all three of us to watch those kids. Okay, you have one for the first 4 hours. All right, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what? It's what an incredible blessing.
We have a Charlie, so we need a reinforcement.
A Charlie. I love it. I love it. Okay, let me go down through. Now, time frame wise, we're talking 1st of February, so you got to start talking about this now.
Yeah, start right. talking about you're all together with your family for the holidays. Let's talk about what you're doing for 2018.
Okay, yeah. And there is an application process. So are you taking? I know when we were talking about Philadelphia, there was a kind of a they wanted to take a cross section of families.
Yeah, so
is the same deal here, or not so much.
Not so much this time.
Okay,
it's just a first come first serve. So it would just be a matter of reaching out to a travel company and chatting with them and applying and giving them the money. So okay. It's a lot simpler this time.
A lot around. Simpler this time. 45 people, but that will go fast.
It'll go really fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Scott Seibert, Director of Office and Marriage and Family Life.
Yes.
World Meetings of Families. There is a possibility. I did read that the Pope is planning on the last few days. He has done that before. What do you think? And the theme is the gospel of the family, joy for the world. And what's interesting is it says this is the first world meeting of families since the release of Amoris Laetitia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And this Pope has, I mean... Love him or hate him, he has really, many people have said he's what we needed at this time in the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is digging deep and really reaching out to not only families, but the most, It seems like the poorest of the poor, the neediest.
The vulnerable.
The most vulnerable. He really is.
Yes.
And he's making families kind of a cornerstone of his papacy, right?
Yes.
So what do you expect? I mean, what do you think? What can we expect to see? I mean, do you think it'll be like a papal audience? I mean, hundreds of thousands of people there. What do you expect to hear from the Pope? What do you think is going to come out of this?
You know, I remember leaving Philadelphia in 2015 and really for the first time encountering church as church family and really seeing, and then following up with that as a social worker, knowing the woundedness of every individual and just seeing the woundedness of families. And really, there's an opportunity for us as church to enter into the wounds. As Pope Francis, as I said before, I love his reflections on Divine Mercy Sunday with Doubting Thomas and talking about Thomas entering into the wounds. And so as families realizing that our culture is kind of a wounded culture and families are crippling along, I really think there's going to be a message of hope and of joy and of really drawing our attention back to the fact that the poorest of the poor looks a lot of different ways in a lot of different cultures. And the family unit is one aspect of the poor in our world. And so I expect his message will be that.
Okay, so your favorite part when you went to Philadelphia, what was, you thought, wow, that was life changing. That was good to hear. I needed that.
You know, there's so many takeaways. Here we are almost three years out. I met Bishop Barron for the first time.
Oh, my goodness. So did you recognize him or did you?
He was walking down the street. Bishop Barron. like wiping the drool away from my mouth. So there were fun moments like that. But I remember, so the Festival of Families is an event that happens the Saturday after the Congress. And we were in the lawn with hundreds of thousands of other people. And we were waiting for the Pope. We weren't sure when he was going to be there. And I had my then, Izzy, oh my gosh, she was like two or three at the time. And we got there at 9 a.m. The Pope didn't come till about 7 that evening.
Oh,
and so it was a long day of waiting. And I thought for sure that she was just going to be a hot mess and wasn't going to make it. She did better than I did. But I remember, you know, it wasn't something that I instilled in her or told her to do or anything. But I just remember after all day of waiting, when the Pope drove by, she was like a little Zacchaeus, like climbing up on like, there's the Pope, more excited than I think I ever would have imagined her being. And just the encountering the universal church in that moment with the Pope and hundreds of thousands of other people, and the waiting, here we are right after Advent, and what waiting really means and what it really looks like, and then boom, it's there. That's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
And so I hope Pope Francis is there. I hope they don't confirm until 6 months out, but it just brings a whole new flair to the event.
Oh, like, you imagine. Of course he will be there. They say this because, you know, they have to say it, but of course he will. I mean, he's the big guy, right?
Yeah. And since 1994, there's only been one instance when the Pope hasn't been there, and it was only because Pope Benedict was sick. But this is a papal event with expectation, much like World Youth Day, that the Pope's going to be there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about several years ago when the beatification of, and he's got so many preambles, but Pope John Paul the Great, you know,
yeah.
Pope
yeah, yeah.
St. John Paul, you know, and Cardinal John, you know, 23rd, right? Pope John the 23rd.
Yeah.
Anna was there with her sister who was studying overseas, right? And they met up and along with, you know, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 other people, right? And they were camped out the night before, and they were so far away they could hardly see the Vatican, and they kept praying the rosary and asking the Blessed Mother to move them forward, right?
Wow.
So all through the night, and of course there's no possibility for going bathroom breaks, right?
No.
But there was this group of priests and nuns around them, and they just kept saying, the Blessed Mother will get you in. And it seemed hopeless in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
But the Blessed Mother kept propelling them forward, right?
Wow.
I mean, literally lifting them through the crowds until they were about a half a block away. And they heard the announcement that only the people in the perimeter were going to get communion. Only the people in the round of the, you know, the Vatican were going to get communion. And once they started Mass, they were going to rope that off because the only the people in the round were going to get communion and be available for Mass. Although there were screens everywhere.
Sure.
And many people in their group said, oh, at least we can see the screens. At least we can see the screens. Yeah. But Anna said, you know, I was like, let's ask the Blessed Mother. Let's keep praying. So they said, like, through the night, they said 10 or 15 rosaries, right? So she said, let's start another rosary. I mean, literally the Mass is going to start in moments. And Anna's like, let's start another rosary. And she said, inexplicably, and she thinks it's a miracle, but there was a parting of the seas almost. And she was able, with her group, they were propelled to the front.
Whoa.
And literally, right, they took them. They took Anna and her sister and the two nuns and the two priests that were with them. And immediately after them, they cut it off. They cut it off and said, okay, this is it. This is all we can take. But Anna said, and then, of course, she had to say thank you prayers all through Mass because they got in, right?
Yeah.
But I think that for me, the world, you know, the world meeting of families is the way I picture that, of like that for Anna was. It was like all these faithful people together and hopeful.
Yes.
And hopeful.
Hopeful.
And I'm just tickled that you can be there because you've experienced a little taste of it once before. Was that the first time you had gone by?
Yeah. Now? Yeah. That was my first time. My first papal event ever in my life.
Oh, so you didn't see the Holy. Oh, you probably were a peanut when he was here. In St. Louis.
I had friends that went, but no, I never went. It was my first opportunity. And my mom and my oldest daughter were there. And this year I get to be with my wife.
That's wonderful. So cool. And Ireland. Okay, so World Meeting of Families 2018. Let's get the last, we'll button this up. The Gospel of the Family, Joy for the World, is the theme. And for those people who want more information, where can they go to get a little bit more information? And you said again, the deadline was?
Yeah, the deadline is February 1st, 2018. And so I'm going to point everyone to call me and I'll help them get where they need to go. So my number is 317-236-1527. Okay. So again, 317-236-1527. 1527. Call me, Scott Seibert, and I'll get you all the information and all the details.
And only 45 people. This is first come, first serve. What a great, I just thought of it. Okay, since literally this is the beginning of Christmas, what a wonderful Christmas present this would be to say to your husband or wife, guess what I got you for Christmas?
That's right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Trip to Ireland. God bless you. Thank you so much for being our
guest. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.